Welcome to the Gatecast, presented by Alan and Mike.
Lucy, I'm home.
I am not Lucy.
Oh, you're right. We'll just upload a computer virus into the mothership.
I was going to do my living room like this.
Well, sir, my recommendation is that anyone attempting to leave the mountain should be shot on sight.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the 83rd episode of the Gatecast with Alan and Mike.
It's been a little while, but I'm sure we've several in the can. Tonight's episode is The Light, which, Mike, having actually done research and watched it beforehand, assures me is not a great one.
Unfortunately, I remembered it wasn't a great one even before I rewatched it.
Oh, dear.
Yes, it's one of those episodes that you look back fondly and know that I'll never have to watch that again. Unless you do a podcast, of course. Then you've got to cover it. There's some people out there that like it.
On the subject of podcasts, in recent news, thanks to the confirmation from Sci-Fi that they won't be doing any spin-off series from SGU or Atlantis, no TV movies, etc., Mike has pegged the definite termination date for Gatecast of 2017.
Oh, yeah, I noticed you'd have read that.
Yes, I believe my response was yes, but by the time we finish, they may have actually decided to reboot it again.
That's quite possible, yes.
Yeah, maybe I'll have won a massive amount of money in the American lottery and I'll fund it. Although, to be honest with you, I'd probably fund a reboot of Firefly.
Oh, I don't think that'd work anymore.
Oh, no, it would be the same verse, just different people.
Ah.
Or it would be at least a TV movie of the Shepherd book story, which is quite doable because you could get a younger actor.
Yeah, I've got the little trade paperback they released of that. I haven't actually read it yet.
I had to pick it up in hardback, but yeah, it's sitting inside. But I'm currently reading, or did I put it down? I think I might have not bought it because it were like 65 pages and $23. And I thought, no. So I'm reading, I bought book one and two of Garth Ennis's Preacher.
Any good?
It's interesting.
That's all you want from a book?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Kevin Batchelder.
I'm Wendy Hembrock.
And I'm Brent Barrett.
And we're the hosts of a new podcast called Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV,
where we discuss sci-fi and genre shows currently on television and some from the past.
We're fans just like you, so join us in our water cooler and back porch discussions of your favorite shows.
And strangely enough, you can find us online at tuningintosci-fi-tv.com.
Be seeing you.
Wait a minute, isn't that what Bester says on Babylon 5?
Maybe. I never watched Babylon 5.
What? So you're a sci-fi geek who missed one of the best shows ever?
Hey, no details, no spoilers. I'm still catching up on DVD myself. Besides, we're not really experts or critics. We kind of think of ourselves more like guides or sci-fi Sherpas.
I don't carry anyone's luggage, though.
Yeah, me either. We're what we like to call the viewer's digest for genre TV.
Yes, we're interested in the conversation shows generate.
And speaking of sci-fi Sherpas, where would you find one of those?
Craigslist?
Oh, see what I have to deal with?
Anywho, enough chit-chat, because I'd like to watch at least some of Game of Thrones tonight.
Oh, yes, you haven't had time to watch it yet, have you?
I haven't had time to. I've not been here.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, my parents have NTL. The Atlantic HD is exclusive to Sky.
Yeah, I mean, they did all that. Virgin finally came to a deal to get Sky One HD. Then they signed all the papers, and when Sky went, right, we've just made this deal with HBO, and we're starting a new channel.
And all the really good stuff's going to be on that.
Yeah. So you, Virgin. You're in for a treat. Very impressive.
The only thing I saw some on Twitter that the connection with the wolves isn't as clear as it is in the book. But of course, you've not read the books.
I've not read the book.
I don't know if I said it to you. I certainly said it to my friend Paul C. They are to fantasy what Dune is to sci-fi. They are that. It's political complexity. It's intrigue. I had to reread them before I started book four because even I couldn't keep the whole thing in my head. And not only that, I enjoyed rereading them.
Yeah.
I mean, I very rarely reread anything. I pretty much remember most books I've read if I choose to recall it. But, you know, they're too complex. I just read them and I'm like, oh, bugger. I have difficulty keeping up.
Yeah, obviously the adaptations are going to lose a lot. All the basics are already there. I say, oh, Christ, that Jason Momoa from Stargate Atlantis. I can understand why he got the job as Conan.
Oh, because you see him again. Is he Drago?
Yeah, the barbarian chief, you know.
The Khal Drago, the guy with the young...
Yeah, the very pale, married off to a...
To a child, basically.
Well, she's not a child in this episode.
I think she's 14 in the books.
I think they've Yeah, I think they might not get away with marrying off a 14-year-old. Yeah, the guy, I mean, he was big in Atlantis, but Christ almighty.
I heard what the guy said about New V, that on the current podcast, basically, the guy who plays the mercenary looks like he hasn't spent more than 8 minutes outside of a gym since the 80s.
Yeah, it's...
So Momoa's looking like that.
Yeah, but he's got the height as well.
It's true. He's
6'4". Must be.
I thought 6'4", 6'5", anyway.
So imagine 300-odd pound muscle on him.
Ivy.
He's a monster.
If what happens to him in the books happens to him in the series, it could be interesting. Because I know what happens to him in the book. But that's like, God, even just the first book, I'd be intrigued in 10 episodes if they can cover even a quarter of it. Because each there's like about 43 chapters, and each chapter is told from a different viewpoint.
Ouch.
Like I said, it's complicated.
And I'm going to say, it is probably a series I'd like to read, but...
I recommend it highly, and your best bet might be on ebook because the books are big.
Yeah.
The hardbacks are probably about £3-4 a pop.
Was it GWC? They were talking about e-readers, or was it another podcast I listened to? Anyway, it piqued my interest because they were right, you know. I buy a lot of books, a lot of them on a whim. You know, I'll give that a read. Even a paperback, they're not exactly cheap anymore. I thought,
But ebooks aren't any cheaper. What I tend to do is I download ebook versions of the Dead Tree formats that I own.
Yeah.
And I do it that way.
Well, that was it. The pricing of the ebooks, I were expecting them to be significantly cheaper than the
But at least you can legally buy them. We can't here.
Hey, I like Discworld, but I'm not paying over £10 for a sudden ebook of Discworld. That's crazy.
I've discussed this with Terry's agent. Well, actually, no. What I discussed with Terry's agent was the fact, directly, as in person, was the fact that we only get trade paperbacks here. We don't get the hardbacks.
Yeah, because you're such a small market.
Yeah, apparently so. And that applies to the North as well. It's the entire... We are a united island in trade paperback.
When it comes to denying something, you're all one country.
But what I discussed was the fact that you can't actually legally buy the ebooks here because the UK sites that sell them won't sell them unless you've got a credit card with a postcode, and the American sites require a zip code. So you can't actually legally buy the Discworld ebooks here.
Well, that's crazy, isn't it? I mean, if they'll sell you a paperback, why won't they sell you an ebook? What's the different licensing about it?
Book distribution in this country is handled by Easons, and it's pretty much one point of contact.
I'm just querying why you couldn't buy an ebook from a US site if the same site will sell you a paperback.
It may be a licensing thing. A lot of the legal ebooks, I know with the Kindle, for example, they own the, unless you root it, they own the ebook. And they, as Aaron said on his podcast, they can actually pull it. And it's happened. Yeah. You bought an ebook, and next thing you see is a credit in your account because they've yanked it.
There's a lot of things I don't like about any sort of proprietary hardware when it comes to that.
That's why I went with the Sony, because amazingly enough, A, it'll take an SD card, and B, it'll read any PDF you bung into it.
Yeah, I'm of the old school. When you're paid for something, it's yours to do with as you please.
Which is why I quite cheerfully download ebook versions of the hardback books I own, because as far as I'm concerned, I purchased a license to the book.
Yeah.
Unless it's added content, like the Stephen Briggs Unabridged, then I don't see why I should pay again. I quite happily paid for all the Unabridged readings, because what I found with it is if you listen to a book, you'll hear a lot of things that you missed when you read it.
Yeah, well, I say you engage in a different part of your brain, really, aren't you?
It's not just that. As you read, you tend to skip words or you pick up entire sentences.
Yeah.
When you're listening to it, you have to hear every single word.
Yeah.
I have them as CD MP3s. That's how I bought them off ISIS, and I have pretty much the entire run.
Well, that's all right. I mean, I bought a couple. Yeah, ISIS was the same. I'm looking at one now. Feet of Clay. It's on my shelf right next to me. MP3. But they aren't MP3s. They're not MP3 files at all.
Mine are.
Nope, I believe they were AAC files.
My car played them.
Well, they're not MP3, are they? An MP3 is not a description of a file, it's a codec.
Mm-hmm.
Calling a WAV file an MP3 does not make it an MP3.
True.
So, first time I bought them, which wasn't cheap. But I thought, I'll try one. You know, and I bought it. And the first thing I had to do was rip and convert the damn thing to an MP3 format. You just go, why? Why?
But yeah. Anyway, let us queue up our bad line. Oh dear, that's not a good noise that the DVD-ROM drive is making. It's rather so. It's less of a spin, more of a grind. But Lion's head is duly cocked and open and looking mildly. I wonder if lions follow the whisker rule for cats.
What's that?
This is apparently a medical fact. Well, veterinary fact. A cat's whiskers will grow longer as it grows wider or fatter. because the cat uses them as a width measurement. If the whiskers fit through a given gap, then the entire body will fit through.
Oh.
So as a cat gets fatter, its whiskers will get longer proportionately.
Clever. Evolution at work.
Yes.
Just say the word.
Open the iris.
Finger hovering over a spacebar.
Good to go.
3, 2, 1. Clicky. Fade out online, fade in on the steps again.
Yep.
And Jack in semi-casual green.
Oh, no skipping.
Chevron 1 in Kodak.
Survivor.
A new character.
Yes.
When you get there, give this to Daniel, will you?
Sir?
We had a bet. I lost.
Lieutenant Barber.
I always assumed it was an actual barber reading the transcript. Because it's just that Jack says it's a barber and thinking, okay, it's somebody cuts hair. He's got a sort of red shirt vibe off.
Yeah, give him his credit now because he don't last long. Lieutenant Barber, played by Link Baker. I don't really recognise him, but he's done a lot of recent work. Heroes, Castle, CSR Miami. So the lad's doing well.
His team won the big Bond spiel.
Okay, you don't want to tell me what the bet is? That's fine.
Good. Have fun.
He's doing CSI Miami.
Or guest star, didn't
he? Well, guest star, yeah, because I can't imagine David Crusoe would let another redhead in. You know, I'm sorry, I'm the redhead star of this show.
He did actually appear in two episodes of SG-1, this one and one next season.
Different characters?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I looked at him and I thought, he's dead.
Want me to see this place?
You know, I get that way. I work my ass off. In fact, I figured you might want some time off yourself by now.
Oh, I do, but Daniel says of all the...
Yes, there's a lot going on in this scene. You've got Barbara in the back, Sam and Jack arguing about betting on Sam.
Whether or not I'd go. Do you have anything better to do?
Chevron 7. Unnamed technician. Oh, why is he running? What the hell?
Woo! No funeral for him.
You know what Jack's thinking? Crap, if an owner's going to do that, wouldn't he give them the money?
Yeah, that's a good point. Because he owes that money to Daniel once again. Explain to Daniel, I've already paid Barbara to give it to you. Yes.
Yes. But the money got disintegrated. Really? Look, I have witnesses. Oh, sure. They're military personnel. If their colonel ordered them to lie, they would.
Yeah. I like it. They bet. Will Sam go or not? Right then. The lights. First aired January the 17th, 2001. Directed by Peter Wost. He's directed 11 episodes and director of photography for 94 others, so been a busy boy.
Did Michael actually direct any episodes? Did any of the principal cast direct an episode?
I'd be very surprised if they didn't, but off the top...
We have not encountered one yet, I'm sure we'll notice it.
The story was written by James Phillips, his one and only script for SG-1.
Mm-hmm. I need to buy season 9 and season 10. He didn't even leave the smoking boots. Shouldn't he have left the smoking boots? I know it's a Pratchett reference, but even so.
See this,
Daniel.
There's been an incident.
Yeah, I know. I got your message, but this is really important.
An important incident.
And this was amazing.
Barber's dead.
He actually ran up towards the Kawash because it was too difficult to have him jump into it. Just easier to film if he just ran into it and straight through the gate out the other side.
Well, the thing is, if he jumped into it, you would have to have crash mats and stuff. Otherwise, it would be quite painful to land.
Well, yeah, you'd have to get the timing right and everything.
Yeah,
really. No, we all ignored him. He was feeling really depressed as well. It was his birthday.
Jackson's forearms are starting to look a bit, you know. You get the impression he's been doing some gym work.
What was he doing?
Awaiting the results of a translation with which I was assisting Daniel Jackson.
If you're asking me if he was suicidal, he wasn't. He was fine. He was better than fine. Did anybody talk to him or, like, notice anything?
Nothing.
We were all taken by surprise.
Well, so am I. I don't even know what to say.
Am I a few seconds behind you?
We'll continue to investigate what may have compelled him to do what he did, but it's been my experience that these questions often go unanswered.
I'm at 438.
Dr. Jackson, perhaps you could tell us more about this Gould palace you were studying.
Or is that relevant?
It could be slightly different.
Dr. Jackson?
Yes, sorry,
Were there any signs of recent Goa'uld activity?
No, I'm pretty sure that no one had been there for hundreds of years, but, there was this room, where there was this pedestal, which projected this light matrix hologram onto the ceiling, and it was, absolutely stunning.
Any idea as to its purpose?
Ideas, yes, but, I was hoping this might tell me more. It's kind of like a Gould handheld computer. And when it's turned on, it displays this Gould dialect I've never seen before, and there were similar writings all over the pillars of the palace. I'm thinking, or hoping, crossing my fingers actually, that their instructions.
I would be happy to provide further assistance with the translation, Daniel Jackson.
Thank you. I was counting on that.
So he's got a little device?
Yes. That looks cool design, don't you think? What? The little thing that he's got in his hand. Ooh, I have that keyboard.
I tried to find out if that got sold in the recent prop auction, but I couldn't find it.
Did you find out who bought the gate?
No, I didn't. And now I'm in front of you.
No, I have that exact keyboard.
I know you did, but I'd seen that exact keyboard 5 seconds ago. I jumped forward a bit. Obviously, I went too far.
Still recording. I'm endeavouring to translate the Goa'uld writings of which Daniel Jackson has spoken.
How goes the endeavouring?
Upon a second viewing, I have discovered a figure moving in the background.
Shot from behind, Jack.
Does not appear to be one of our personnel.
Teal'c just turned the monitor. That's Daniel slapping the book down.
Okay, I think we're back in sync now.
Just slight technical hiccup, folks.
Yes.
We're cleaning it up in post.
So, Lieutenant Barber showed no symptoms of depression or anxiety. Daniel seems to be acting very out of character.
What is wrong with this thing?
Yes.
This thing isn't working.
Did you check the battery?
Yeah, Daniel actually looks unshaven. I don't think I've ever seen Daniel look stubbly.
I need to go back to the planet and figure out what's going on.
Hammond suggested we do that tomorrow.
Well, this thing isn't working, and tomorrow isn't good enough.
Ooh.
Yes, it is.
Daniel, Jack's your boss.
I'm going to talk to Hammond. Hey!
Well, technically.
Yeah, technically. Jack can smack you.
Have you slept at all since your return?
I fail to see what that has to do with anything.
SG-1 has been hard at it for weeks. I'm not sending you anywhere until you've all at least had a night's sleep.
I'm fine.
You're physically and mentally exhausted, Doctor.
Well, I admit I have been pushing myself.
No, you're not going to win this, Daniel, no matter what you say.
This device could hold the key to everything about that entire place, and I can't make any more progress on it here.
You're scheduled to leave tomorrow morning. One more day isn't going to make a difference.
I'm telling you it is.
No, indeed not.
Thank you for your time, sir.
You know, it is beyond my comprehension how anybody like yourself who has so much power can miss the point entirely.
Hey, knock it off!
It's all right, Colonel. This letter is to Lieutenant Barber's family explaining that he died in the service of country. I've spent the last 2 hours on it. I can't tell them anything about how he died or anything about the work he did here, only that he's gone. Do you get the point?
Yes, sir. He does.
Get him out of here.
I like this scene. You've got Jack just standing at the back listening and just interjecting every now and again because he knows where Daniel's heading.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be a closed casket and all because there's going to be nothing in it.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be bricks.
Yeah.
They did traditionally put a weight in it, don't they?
Hmm. You can understand why Hammond gets loyalty from his people. You know, he could easily have thrown a real wobbler with Daniel, but he came across.
He could have suspended Daniel from gate operations for the next, you know, I'm putting you on a 72-hour hold and you get locked up for medical observation. Yeah.
Maybe I should give him a wake-up call, sir.
Sounds to me like you could use one.
And so all that, they get up in the morning. Where's Daniel then? He ain't here. Oh, God. Go get him, Jack. Oh, and he's off base again.
Ah, lots of plants.
Daniel?
A door is ajar.
Ajar.
I think it's the first time we've seen the number.
Yeah, this was an actual apartment that they chose to use, not a set.
Mm-hmm. Egyptian art.
I don't know if it's me, but every time you go to Daniel's apartment, it always looks different, like they're using different apartments.
No. For shame. Yeah, so they must have dollied that backwards. There must be a track laid down there, the camera, unless it's a steady cam going.
And his little kettle. Surprisingly not whistling. I always find it amusing when Americans make tea. Oh, it is whistling. There it goes.
Yeah. I can't really hear it, the volume is low.
Because they have coffee machines, if they want tea, they always have to have a little kettle to boil water.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have the same type of kettle that you put on a hob, which we grew out of 30, 40 years ago. Oh, nice
shot,
dear. That is.
Yeah, I assume he's the... Are they showing his legs? No, they're not. Oh.
That was a stuntman, obviously.
That's not.
That's not, yes, but...
Daniel's not looking well. I'm assuming he's strapped in.
Daniel? What are you doing out here?
Downtown Toronto, I think.
They had a fake shot on the roof to make it look like they were in a middle-floor apartment.
Mm-hmm.
They did shoot this scene with him. Oh, yeah, he's his Oscar moment.
Daniel, why don't you come inside here?
I tried.
What is the Hugo, isn't it?
Well, Hugo is sci-fi. I don't know if that's writing or TV.
It goes away.
Okay, well, we'll get it back.
Saturn Award, that'd do it.
I don't think he got one.
No, nobody liked this episode.
Whatever's wrong, we'll fix it.
You don't even know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't.
Thankfully, Jack didn't watch Lethal Weapon last night. Or else he'd be grabbing Daniel. Let's jump.
But there's no water below. Daniel suddenly... The transcript said Daniel looks like he just woke up.
Yeah, kind of like snapped out of whatever was affecting him. And where am I?
Yeah.
Don't look down. Why not?
Daniel looks significantly taller and heavier than Jack. I get the impression if he actually slipped, I'm not sure Jack would have the strength to pull him back. Now, why is he on oxygen? Ooh, that's all blue. All blue is not good.
The PET scan reveals that his neurological activity is slowing.
So?
Neurotransmitters relay messages within the body. Too many or too few of these chemical transmissions can result in anxiety, depression, or a number of emotional or physical disorders.
Janet never gets an easy case, does she? I bet she didn't even get to do his appendix. She was probably off duty when Daniel came in with his duff appendix.
Now, the only good news is that it doesn't appear to be the result of a contagion.
Well, if it's not a disease, what?
I don't know.
We're not sure exactly what it is, but I'm sure it's not a disease.
I don't know what it is, but I can tell you several things that it isn't.
Yes.
Preliminary MALP readings of P4X347 have ruled out all the usual suspects, air, radiation.
So if we retrace SG5's tracks, we may be able to come up with something.
And feel free to go to that planet and have a look. I won't be going with you.
Oh, crap.
What?
Off-cast, but relevant to sci-fi. Elizabeth Sladen died. I guess there won't be any more Sarah Jane Smith.
Oh, yes. Oh, crikey. She wasn't that old, was she?
No.
So we go in MOP 2. We bring back samples of the usual suspects.
You've made your case, Colonel. Watch your step.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, biohazard suit with optional staff weapon.
Yes. Not airtight, just in case it's airborne. But don't let that worry you.
I can see why Daniel was so hot on this place.
Indeed. Well done, Tilk.
We got an indeed. Yay. I haven't been keeping count. I think that's our first indeed in at least possibly this season.
Whatever affected Daniel and SG5, they didn't breathe at him.
Yes, the director's going, thank God we can take them off. Yelling at the right.
He does actually look quite warm. Jack, he looks kind of quite flush.
Imagine may I say, this set looks fantastic.
Oh, the detail on the columns.
It looks incredible. That floor looks like it's solid marble. Black and gold.
I'm assuming it's just parquet. Or possibly lino. You get these countertops, which are basically MDF with a veneer over them. I thought I saw people moving.
There was a shadow. They actually spotted it on the video. That's why they knew there was something going on.
I see a blue light.
Nope.
No, don't step into the light.
It's just a kid. Obviously scared to death of us.
Looks like a kid.
Or else setting you up for a trap.
Yes, I go for option B.
Pretty.
Ooh, pretty white light. No! Amanda, keep away from the light.
Not good. Yeah, it's really suspect. Actually, it does look pretty good.
No, don't look at the light.
This is a combination shot of the actual CGI and actual creative lighting to get the reflection on the faces.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this is the room of light of which Daniel Jackson has spoken.
Really?
The actual light was created by Image Engine Design, actually taken from a fire effect. And they had to tweak it and everything to try to get a more flowing, watery look to it.
Doesn't seem to be giving off any detectable radiation other than visible light.
I think it's just decorative.
Safe? It is most difficult to believe that something so beautiful.
Oh, Teal'c.
Teal'c expressing something as beautiful.
Yes.
No.
Snap out of it, guys. Well, do something. Anything. This episode is not moving along very well.
We've had 16 minutes.
That's it, Jack.
Yes, Jack has had Black Ops training. He's probably been trained to resist hypnosis.
We'll come back to it. Let's go.
Come, guys.
Hey! Let's go.
Right. Sorry.
Lie pretty. Yes, they look a pretty light. You'd think Teal'c symbiote would.
Oh, I say, it's a very simple form of hypnosis, really.
Mm. Oh, it's gone red or blue earlier.
Yeah, like a mood ring or something.
The light is red and angry.
Sir, I'd like to perform a full spectrum analysis on that light.
Later.
Well, I think there might be a relationship between the light and what's happening to Daniel.
It looked like those lamps were too low in the corridor for Teal'c to pass. Because he went off to one, so it looked like he'd bang his head off.
Yeah, you remember in Chain Reaction when they had that little graphic that looked like an audio visualization?
Mm-hmm.
They actually mentioned the G-Force plugin that they used for that effect. And if I recall correctly, G-Force was a very early Winamp plugin, wasn't it? Knock, knock. I'm sure the hinges shouldn't be creaking. Seriously.
Of course they should. They have dramatic creak.
He remembered what he did in rehearsal.
It looks like fake gold when it is obviously just painted wood.
Again, this is a different part of the set, but still beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Ah. An alien. Ish.
Looks human.
Hi.
He looks familiar.
I'm Jack.
Talkative.
And you are...
No, the kid. I'm sure I've seen the actor.
Oh, yeah, I assumed you didn't mean Jack.
After 82 episodes, I think I could recognize Jack. I'd be severely worried if I couldn't. I was just waiting for a feed of info on the actor playing the kid.
I thought better introduce himself first.
Lauren.
I'm sorry. I don't know what Lauren means.
It's me.
Hi, Lauren.
Jack.
Yeah.
Lauren, played by Christian Eyre.
Anyone else live here with you?
Mother and father.
Can you take me to them? I'd like to talk to them.
No. They're not here.
Not in this place? So you're here alone?
Yes.
He hasn't done anything too recently. He were in the movie Elf, did Dead Zone and Jake 2.0. Born in England, but I think he lives in Canada now.
You know who he reminds me of, actually? I know, it's a different actor. Remember your man in Blade Runner that had the little walking, talking robots?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I get a kind of a similar vibe to him.
You know, it could be the performance, the awkwardness and hesitancy in it.
I can has Asperger's.
Well, we're going to have to look around a little more.
Memories of this episode are kicking in.
Oh, dear.
Maybe you should come along.
Colonel, General Hammond has activated the gate and is on the radio.
All right, go ahead. I'll be there.
As in, it didn't affect him because it had lessened.
Christ, how big is this place? Did he couldn't hear the gate opening?
Big, obviously.
Yeah, it must be, yeah.
You're in place, are you?
Yeah, Jack must be suspicious. I mean, one member of the SG-5 is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel on loan is acting strange, and there happens to be one person in this facility who then claims he knows nothing. A nice POV shot.
This is Hammond. Come in, Colonel.
Where is he?
Never.
He's just sending his voice over the radio listening.
We know it's you, General. I recognize your voice.
We read you, General.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, Jack has a habit of picking up strays.
So you've made a friend, Colonel.
Yes, sir. Lauren? General Hammond. He can see me?
Yes, I can, son.
Hi.
I'm going to bring him back to Earth and put him in school. Is that all right?
I've only been at it a few minutes.
It's been well over an hour, Colonel.
Oh, dear. Sorry, I was just right ahead.
Well, that can't be.
Jack, I have some bad news. All of SG-5 are dead.
Oh, dear.
Whoops. Yes, been over an hour.
Were they standing in the line before Jack actually got
copped
himself
it?
Up?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bad news as well.
Mm.
Vacancies for SG-5, everybody.
Bye, SG-5.
We knew you so little.
As in not at all.
That's true, yeah. It's a pity, you know, they couldn't use an existing character to give it a bit more impact,
mm-hmm.
even if they only used it by name.
Yeah, but then they couldn't use it again. Rachel's looking very matronly, and good God, did she get electrolysis on her legs? Or are they tights? I've never actually seen her legs before.
I'm sure she's got them.
Yeah, I'm aware of the fact that they exist, but...
What's he doing?
I'm afraid his condition is unchanged, sir.
She's usually shot from, like, you know, a three-quarter head chest shot.
Don't it seem reasonable that if you're investigating something, you're not quite sure what... There's this great big structure with these fancy lights, and it should at least be raising the alarm.
Mm.
Of course, it doesn't tell that every time you look at it, you go bye-bye for 10 minutes, half an hour.
An hour.
Don't go towards the light, Sam. Stay away from the lights. The light is not your friend. Okay, then. Don't listen. She's at it again.
So approximately how long ago was this image recorded?
Ooh. Yesterday, Tilk, by this Department of Special Visual Effects. Because that's what they had to do. They had to actually superimpose an image on that device, because that device isn't real. It is not a digital camera with an LCD screen.
Well, in 2001, it'd be like, what, half a megapixel?
Something like that. To the point where it was cheaper to fake it than try to get a real one.
Well, none of your friends are in here. Hey, I wanted to show you something. This was a present from my father on my birthday. No, it's not real.
Oh, whoa, easy, Tilk.
You're still slightly ahead of me.
I'll pause it for a couple of seconds.
Because you said easy, Tilk, and the kid was still on screen getting the weapon.
Ah, right.
You hadn't got to see
it. He's now offering it to Tilk.
Yes, I've got that.
Children of the Tauri also seem to enjoy colorful weapons that have no function.
It's fun.
I see. On my homeworld of Chulak, we do not celebrate the anniversary of one's birth.
Well, that's miserable, isn't it?
It is a day like any other.
Well, how do you know how old you are?
I am 101 years of age.
You don't look that old.
So I've been told.
So when do you turn 102?
In 47 days.
You look good, like too.
Yeah, looking well for it, too. You know, no Botox or anything.
Oh, a little paternal feeling, perhaps. Probably hasn't seen his son for a while.
He has, Rack.
Ah, but he never sees him. Look, he had a wife, but he was mucking about with that other woman.
Who was then killed by Kronos. Oh, Tanith. Not by Kronos, by, Tanith. Sorry, different ghouls.
Yes.
I'm
sure we'll meet again. So he celebrated his century at the SGC.
Well, he did, obviously, as he said.
Yeah, but he must have celebrated Jack, Sam's and Daniel's at some point. Till does well. You know, he befriends kids and gives them super squirters. And...
Yes, but and then he's like, on Julok, we do not celebrate the anniversary of one's birth.
Like that. Okay, maybe not. Temper,
Jack.
Well, are you all right?
What kind of dumbass question is that? My friend is laying here on his deathbed.
Now, this could be a symptom, Janet.
Yes, Janet, you're a highly trained medical profession. Take the hint.
She probably thinks psychology is a pointless branch of medicine.
Are you comparing her to Bones?
Ah, yeah.
Took you a while to make that connection, didn't it?
It did, didn't it? I was thinking of McCoy, but then it clicked.
Sorry. Okay, understandable confusion.
Yeah. Sweets.
Jack's thinking, not again. You know, after the whole caveman thing. And I am not Lucy.
I'm going to have to stop doing this job because it's causes no end of grief. Hmm. At least he's not in a straitjacket. Given his mental symptoms, at least that's something.
Hmm. Yes. That's not good.
Whatever's causing this actually accelerates neural activity in the brain and causes a dopamine-like effect in the body.
Kind of like drugs.
Only as long as you're on the planet. Shortly after your return, neural activity begins to decrease and depression results. Blood work confirms it.
Does the boy carry any immunity we could use to our advantage?
No. His blood work came back the same. I don't think he'll be able to leave the planet without experiencing the same narcotic withdrawal symptoms.
But we could experiment on him anyway, just to see.
Yeah, I mean, he's an alien kid. Who cares?
Yeah.
Hmm.
It appears to be almost instantaneous.
You tell me I'm addicted to that place?
The intensity of your mood swing into depression seems to be proportional to the time you've spent on the planet. All we can do is hope that your exposure wasn't long enough for your symptoms to get as bad as they did with Daniel and the others.
Great. All those years of just saying no.
Jack, I tried to recall Carter or Tilk. They haven't responded, and I can't risk sending another team.
You're going back, Jack.
Yes. Mm-mm. Oopsie.
What's that?
His EEG is sporadic. This is exactly what happened to members of SG-5 before they died, so you're going to have to take him back to the planet.
There we go.
Once you're there, I'll need you to send me his vital signs every... Cody, no time to resuscitate. Let's go!
Literally, take him back to the planet. Yeah. Faster, faster.
Well, yes, because now he's dead.
Yes.
He's no, surely he's flatlined.
What a cop out. Dan Shea had to do that. Richard Dean Anderson was too big a star to fireman's lift Daniel and carry him through the gate.
Or the insurance wouldn't cover them, because if he injured his back and he couldn't walk for 6 weeks, I mean, they don't care about Dan Shea.
Well, it was okay for him to drop Daniel in the close-up.
Where are my friends?
They're busy elsewhere.
They're staring at the pretty lights.
Laura and
lights.
Have to do.
I'll try!
Now you wouldn't have
thought. His heart spontaneously restarted.
Yes, that is a bit of a puzzle, isn't it?
You were bloody flatlined. You were dead. Adrenaline shot directly to the heart. Electroshock won't do that. You have to inject drugs. Electroshock will only shock it back into normal rhythm.
Carter! Carter, wake up!
Back, sir, when?
Tilt. Come on.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't grab Tilt like that, does he?
Well, no, because Tilt could rip his head off. He can shake Carter because he outweighs her by 75 pounds.
Yes. You don't quite seem yourself after you get pulled away from the line. Like, your brain's got to re-engage.
Daniel Jackson.
Hmm.
Yeah. Had to bring him back.
Yes. Daniel's brain. Daniel looks, to be honest with you, hungover. The sort of head on the arms.
You said it was dead a minute ago.
Yeah. Now he looks hungover.
Yeah. Where were we?
He was like, oh, God, what did I drink?
I heard his voice. Where were we? In there.
That looks like me at the meetup after Default Prophet and Jägermeister. Following morning, I was like,
What did I do? Because I can't remember a damn thing.
Oh, that's the thing. I remember everything.
Oh. What?
I just don't care at the time. That's actually worse. I can remember all the embarrassing shit I've done. BKD said to me, yes, I met you last night for the first time. You're rather drunk.
Yeah, rather.
She's an elementary school teacher. She has a certain turn of phrase.
Uh-huh. Sir, if it's the light itself, then how did Daniel recover just by arriving on the planet?
I don't know, Major, but I want you to find out. Otherwise, we're stuck here indefinitely, and that's not acceptable. No, screw it. We're shutting the thing off. No, you stay here.
That's it, Jack the man of action. Now the problem, of course, is that you've actually got to go into the room to switch it off.
What are we looking for, sir?
The off switch.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if you could close your eyes and just kind of feel your way.
Yeah. That actually looks quite impressive.
It is, because they actually managed to interact with his hand.
Yeah.
Can't shut the thing off.
That's pretty cool. Pretty serious work for 2001.
Oh, God, yeah.
O'Neill!
Oh, yeah.
It took days to render the sequence, as you would expect. So this effect, you'd imagine that probably half the budget of the episode.
Mm-hmm. But it's a very, very cool effect.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the actual idea for it, the producer just gave it to the special effects guy and says, do it, sort it out. Mm. That's what we want it to look like, but we've got no idea how you're going to do it. Off you go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to see you're alive and well, Dr. Jackson. We thought we'd lost you.
To be honest, I don't really remember much after yelling at you.
That's all right.
Mm. Yeah, very considerate, General. You were not yourself, Daniel. I forgive you.
Yes. Well, it's not that I forgive you, but the script requires that I forgive you.
And that little remote computer thing I couldn't make work before.
I'll send it through immediately. Where's Colonel O'Neill?
Yeah.
Guys, I figured out how to...
Oh, dear. They've lost him again. Every time you turn your back, they've... Oh. Well, that was easy, wasn't it?
Yes.
How did you do that?
Remote control.
Oh, well, the pretty light's gone off.
I thought that thing was broken.
Yeah, you were right. It was the batteries.
I was?
At least I think it draws power from something in the room itself. That's why I couldn't get it to work back on Earth.
Oh, Danny was having a funny.
The effects guys are gone, thank Christ.
Well, that does make sense, picking up energy from the actual field that the device operates in. It makes you wonder how that remote control device ended up with them.
Mm-hmm.
Surely it would have, and then again, it must have worked when they first found it in this facility.
Mm-hmm.
Opium den. The only difference is... their symbiotes must have kept the host mind chemically balanced once they left.
Then most likely I will be able to leave this planet.
Oh, how nice for you.
Daniel's getting a little smug.
Getting depressed.
Perhaps it will take some time to feel its effects.
Daniel, you nearly jumped off your balcony the other day.
Well, he doesn't remember that, as he said to Hammond. He doesn't remember much of anything after yelling at him.
Well, we can tell him.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Jack.
You know, for some of his parents has disappeared. Kid looks remarkably happy-go-lucky.
He might not have liked his parents.
Even so, he's been on his own there for... What's he been eating?
Far away from here.
How far? Which direction?
That might be a minor plot point, but we won't explore. Then again, where are his parents? Da-da-da.
Yes. Now he's upset.
Yeah.
He's
upset
Kid's hiding something. Kill Carter with me.
Oh, God, it's Easter Island.
Oh, very... I mean, that's a seriously good map painting merged into live action.
Oh, yeah.
Kent Matheson actually did the painting.
It's kind of grey and depressing.
Very much so.
What?
I guess the reality that we may never go home is starting to set in.
Got a bit of green, algae, to make it a bit more colourful.
Mm, but algae kill fish.
Well, there may not be any fish in the sea.
Well, I assume it's an actual sea.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. It's probably a bit much to fake that.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
To do nothing for a while?
What?
Forget it.
That would be forget it, sir.
Oh, please, you think I'm keeping that up if we're stuck here forever?
Listen, Major.
No way!
That's no way, Colonel.
Wait, I'm supposed to accept that? That's the way it's gonna be?
That's the way it is.
What difference does it make? It's not up to you.
Carter! You're in withdrawal.
Oh, I'm in withdrawal.
Yes! So am I.
Kiss her, you fool.
Yeah.
O'Neill. Major
Carter. Should have taken advantage, sir.
You don't really know what she might have done, though. All of a sudden, he's questioning his affection for Sam.
I believe I have located the parents of Laura.
Is this what she's like? Oh. Ah, mum and dad.
With markers.
So,
what has he? Because they've clearly been dead for quite a while.
Well, unless there are fish in the sea. That's what they looked like a few years ago.
Yes.
That's my mother and father. There. That's me.
Shame it's not a digital camera, considering what he's about to do.
You're a lot younger there.
Yeah, it's old.
Yeah, about that.
Hey, can I take an image of you?
Sure.
Say cheese.
Interesting. Now the visual effects guys are gone, damn it.
For all Daniel knows, that's some alien device. It's captured his soul or something.
Daniel's not quite that backward.
No, literally. You assume it's just a camera. I mean, some of the best weapons don't look like weapons.
I mean, it makes sense that you'd want some company. I'm just thinking maybe that's the reason why you didn't tell us how dangerous the light was.
No.
It's okay, I'm not mad.
That's not why.
Now they've wiped the feet, because they want to go treading sand all over that lovely floor.
What's wrong?
Oh, we're going through that withdrawal thing again.
I felt fine the whole time you were gone.
Actually, sir, I'm starting to feel myself again.
Again.
Me too. What's going on?
Well, something other than that light must be affecting us.
And we must remain in close proximity.
So not only are we stuck here, we're stuck here.
I told you, the whole... Well, I will tell you in a few seconds while Soren says it. Sorry, skimming through transcript again.
Never.
Constantly, my dear boy. If I actually sat down and watched the episodes ahead of time, I probably wouldn't need to, but that would mean I'd have to have looked at this again.
Well, it's sure not as much fun to look at with the light off.
I feel no compulsion to remain here.
Sir, I think you may be onto something.
It's not as bad as you say, in fairness. You're giving the impression it was a lot worse.
It's not quite as bad as Need. I mean, it gets
I'm not totally sure anything is. I mean, to be honest, I wouldn't be that keen on watching that episode with the non-speaking people and the singing plant thing again either. It's just...
Ah, but imaginative.
Yes, but it was very odd.
But it's not the direct cause of the imbalance.
What is the cause, then?
There must be a hidden device emitting some form of energy or radiation that we can't detect with our instruments.
Oh, well, at least it's not TNG. I think TNG will be one need after another for me. So he's... Yeah, character's back.
Took him long enough.
Yeah, well, they were off their bleeding trolley.
Yeah, that's their problem, isn't it? You know?
Now, higher brain functions do tend to be the first thing to go. As someone who's been a regular and recent ingester of brain-altering chemicals.
She's right, the light didn't have any effect on me.
Then what did it do to your parents?
Yes, he's been keeping little secrets, the lad has.
Oops.
We need to know what this thing does.
When they get back, they'll explain.
They're not coming back. You know that.
They are.
Somebody buried those bodies.
Yes.
Now, how do you shut that thing off?
O'Neill's being a bit harsh there.
Well, like I said, he said himself, he's still getting the fringe effect of the mind-altering device.
Ooh.
Pretty much exactly what you expect. There we go. That's simple enough. Nice little CGI effect, not a practical shot. Looks pretty much lifelike, I'll give him that.
Figure that thing out.
Yes, sir.
It's good when you've got a subordinate, you can just say, figure that out, and you know she'll do it.
Yes. Where Jack's all sort of, I'm sorry I shouted at you. I was a dick.
That's it now, he feels guilty now.
You are a douchebag. That's right. A douchebag.
You know, if you want to drop in George Takei, I think it might be appropriate.
Yeah, righto.
He's upset. You made him cry, Jack. Bad Jack.
Yeah, swine.
A douchebag.
And the director said he made sure he got the first take of this because Christian always seemed to hit his mark first time every time.
Mm-hmm.
Nice picture. Parents?
What, did they sort of squeeze onions into his eyes?
No, he actually did it.
He cried on cue.
You did.
Think of a puppy that was run over when he was a kid.
I find that.
Whatever works.
What happened?
I think one actor once said that you pair of tweezers in your pocket and you selectively pull little hairs out of your groin.
Okay. I really don't need that image in my fucking head.
I think that was Joey in Friends, come to think of it.
It didn't affect me. My father said it was because I was too young. But they didn't let me in the light room anyway. I told them to stop every day. They just tell me to bring them things.
Okay. So you did that.
Yes. He upset. He's explaining how he killed his parents.
One day I stop.
It makes you wonder how long he's been living with this himself.
It was days before their hunger was stronger than the light. And then they came out looking for me, looking for food. And I snuck into the light room.
Probably gone through the grief and the depression.
And I turned it up. And that just the light, everything. I didn't know that it would hurt them. I just wanted to go home.
It's not your fault.
They died because of me. They were screaming. They ran outside. They didn't make any sense. So I did. I turned it back on. But they were already in the water. So far.
It became all hyper when finally people came to visit, and then the cycle started all over again.
Hmm.
And they just kept on going. They just kept going. I screamed at them. I turned it back on, but they just kept going. And then they were gone. The next day, I found them on the shore.
Lauren, you were trying to help them. You're trying to free them from something. It wasn't your fault.
Well, that's a bit nasty, isn't it? Off they go swimming. Where the hell are they going? Surely there must be an easier way to kill yourself.
Yeah.
Lucky for him that they're washed back up on shore.
Really? Have you read Nation?
What was that? Was that you?
Yeah, sorry. It's the Never Ending Party chat room.
I thought for a minute we might have got a tweet. Quite long sequences. You've got to praise the actor.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much dialogue there.
What? Letting Till playing with that stuff.
They've got the controls exposed.
Yeah, basically, it looks like they just twisting anything that moves.
What do you got?
We think we can turn it off.
Don't let them. You'll die, like my parents.
Is this an early example of the crystal-based ghost stuff they haven't really seen yet?
I imagine it's from the same sort of generation. And of course, it does make producing circuits and control panels very, very easy for the property department.
The ghouls who use this place needed human slaves in order to tend to their needs while they were here.
We've already taken it down a notch without any harm.
Within 2 or 3 weeks, your brain chemistry will return to normal.
Yeah. Great. Just get some, you know. God, I did as a kid. You can grow crystals. I used to grow blue ones. I can't actually remember, embarrassingly enough, from a chemistry perspective, what they were. Oh, but you got a substance and you dissolve it in the water and crystals would grow. My first chemistry set. And no, I didn't make anything explosive. Echelon, Obama, Semtex.
Yeah, he should return to normal along with the rest of us.
I can go with you.
Sure.
So they've discovered how to reduce the power of the machine. Yep. Yes. So they can wean themselves off it.
Yeah, because I'm starting to think, we've run a bit long. We need to wrap this up now. It's very sort of, okay, we're done.
You like ice cream?
What's ice cream?
Three weeks by the beach sounds nice, but it's not a very nice beach. It's not a very nice planet.
No, but maybe Jack figures, you know, character might decide to go sunbathing.
He looks freezing out there.
And can hope. If I was stuck for 3 weeks on the beach with character, I wouldn't really find it too objectionable.
And that was The Light.
Which means I've got to go and fetch another disc for next recording. Because that's the end of that disc.
You didn't think it was as bad as I made out?
No. Unless you found every minute excruciating. I'll take that as a yes.
It's probably doing the writer James Phillips an injustice, but you can see why he never wrote the franchise again. Yet, he does have a good career in writing. His IMDb page is pretty comprehensive, so maybe just science fiction wasn't his thing. He's writing more drama, more crime procedurals.
Interesting. Strange, but transcript by Kira Rothery. One wonders, is she any relation?
Probably not, but
could be a niece, you know. Oh, my aunt worked on the show for God knows how many years.
Right then, that was The Light.
Yes, it was. No new tweets. We have a complete lack of tweet.
Well, to be fair, when we did get a tweet, we never noticed it. Although that might not have been...
I did notice it. I noticed it about 2 minutes after the episode ended.
No, I mean the other one.
Oh, the other one. From Splatterson, yeah.
Yeah.
Who is regularly kicking my ass at Words With Friends, despite the fact that she denies it. Oh, God, I'm into the warnings now. In 15 languages.
You keep it running. Next week's episode is The Prodigy, which is an episode you've often talked about, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah. Where they have the young woman.
Is it clicking? Oh, yeah. She's kind of cute.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming over the age of majority.
Yes, I'm sure she is. You haven't got your blurb in front of you, have you?
Yes, I did, because I clicked on it. The transcript is neatly organized, so you click on next week's episode is blah. Carter takes a brilliant young cadet under her wing on a mission to a remote planet, actually it's a moon, inhabited by unique electric beings that resemble a swarm of fireflies. When the creatures suddenly turn aggressive, SG-1 will need the candidate's brain power, cadets. You know, I'm going to start that again.
Okay.
Right. Carter takes a brilliant young cadet under her wing on a mission to a remote planet inhabited by unique electric beings that resemble a swarm of fireflies. But when the creatures suddenly turn aggressive, SG-1 will need the cadet's brain power to help them escape with their lives. Was that suitably overdramatic?
You made a good effort at it.
Thank you. I aimed for a hokey. Did I hit it?
My blurb on my DVD case is slightly different. Uh-huh. Carter makes the acquaintance of a promising young cadet with a rebellious streak and decides to bring her through the Stargate. I don't think it was just Sam's idea, but what the hell. They visit an off-world research base where they are attacked by alien life forms composed of pure energy.
Hmm.
I say, as blurbs go, neither of them are too bad.
No, I mean, we've seen some awful ones across the years.
Oh, yes. Yes, we have indeed.
The one for this week's episode was very bad.
On the next Stargate SG-1.
I have never before encountered anything like it.
Cool.
They came to make first contact.
What is it?
We think it's some kind of energy-based life form.
They thought they came in peace.
What are you doing?
They're harmless.
They thought wrong.
Colonel O'Neill!
What?
Those things, they're attacking Dr. Thompson.
Now, when a mysterious life form turns hostile...
These walls will not protect us, O'Neill.
Carter, we got about 15 seconds.
And fighting back isn't an option.
He makes a run for the gate, he's risking his own life. If he waits, he risks everyone's life.
Go!
O'Neill must sacrifice himself. Richard Dean Anderson stars on the next Stargate SG-1.
I just tried to put the General Ryan. Sorry, I'm just looking at transcript again. Silly face. That's pretty much it, folks. On the subject of email. Hi, folks, and thanks for listening, downloading, etc., etc., etc. If you need to email us, the email address is gatecastpodcast@gmail.com. If you need to find the podcast, somebody gave it to you, you got it through an automatic subscription, we're on iTunes as Gatecast. We're also listed on Podcast Alley and Podcast Pickle. If you want to leave feedback, you can record an MP3 and email it to gatecastpodcast@gmail.com. You can also leave us feedback on the website, that's gatecast.phasecast.com. There is the Facebook group, which is The Gatecast. And finally, you can also tweet us, we're The Gatecast on Twitter as well. Thanks very much for listening, and hope to hear from you next week. That's pretty much it. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And we appreciate any and all feedback at the stuff we just did.
Thanks for listening, folks. And we'll see you next week. Take care.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Gatecast, presented by Alan, Mike and Scott. Visit us at gatecast.facecast.com.